Now recording. Okay, sorry about that. 15, 20 minutes late. We'll do better next time. So we move on from Shem, Nimrod, Terah, Abraham's father, Abraham, Lot, Sarah, his wife, Sarai, prior, Melchizedek. Don't miss Melchizedek if you're not participating in our men's and ladies' Bible studies. Melchizedek is a massive player, so important. Isaac and Esau, as we've spoken about, and Rebekah and Jacob. That is the book of Genesis. Big N, beginnings. What's next? Okay, from one of our less than 4 feet tall folks, what is this book? Exodus. Very good. It is the book of Exodus. How did you know? The Ten Commandments is good. Was there something about the picture that's on the screen that reminded you of Exodus? That's right. It's an exit sign. Look at the people coming out of the exit sign. The Jews are exiting Egypt. And it is the book of Exodus. And the theme is exit. It is exit. They are leaving the nation of Egypt after 400 years of captivity, as God said would happen in the book of Genesis. Why did God tell Abraham that his sons would be in bondage for 400 years? This is a toughie. Because what? You know, you're not, but you're so cute. How could I pass up some candy? Hey, not it. Why was the 400-year captivity? It wasn't the flood, although that's a great guess. It was because somebody, yes, Vicki?
Idolatry.
Idolatry, yes.
A lot of sins of the Canaanites weren't complete.
Yes, the sins of the Canaanites weren't complete. Why is that important to us? That we were waiting for the sins of Canaanite duck, Karen. Because God is working with all people across this earth. And He is allowing them opportunity. He is patient. He is long-suffering, as 2 Peter tells us. Wishing none that should suffer. Look at the book of Revelation. Look at the judgments that God brings upon the unbelieving earth. And then right behind almost all of them, it says, but they did not repent. Every time God brings judgment, He brings grace. He shows His grace. Judgment is His grace in giving man an opportunity to repent. But they don't repent often. So this is what God was waiting for through 400 years, was for the iniquity, the sins of the Canaanites to manifest fully. And thus they leave and they go and they head back towards the promised land. Now Joseph is dead. There is another king that has come in. And this is the picture of the book of Exodus. Exit as a theme. Another theme that we would use or could use is redemption and deliverance. Redemption and deliverance. Because God is redeeming and delivering His people. The outline that I would give you for the book of Exodus is a two-part outline, and it breaks at the same chapter verse as Genesis, so that's nice. Chapter 1 through 11 is repression. First part of the outline, repression, chapters 1 through 11. And the second part is redemption, chapters 12 through 40. Repression and redemption. Exodus shows God's people leaving the promised land. And in chapters 3 and 4 of Exodus, we see the call of Moses, don't we? By the way, we see some texts in the New Testament that tell us a little bit about the call of Moses through the burning bush. And what we find out when we look at those texts is that the burning bush is a picture of the pre-incarnate Christ. Another thing to note as you go throughout the Old Testament, particularly in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible that we've talked about two of so far, is the phrase, the angel of the Lord. That definite article, the, with angel of the Lord, is a picture of the pre-incarnate Christ. When you see the angel of the Lord and his associates coming to Abraham in the tent, that was a picture of the pre-incarnate Christ. We know that's the case because what did Abraham do in that situation? He worshipped, he bowed down. Excellent, yes, exactly. He worshipped and the angel received the worship. Who received worship? Do angels receive worship? No. Did Peter receive worship? No. Only God receives worship. Beautiful pictures for us through this. In Exodus chapter 3, in verses 13 to 15, as Moses is asking God, "Who shall I say sent me?" He says, "I am who I am." Tell them, "I am sent you." That phrase, "I am," is the phrase that Jesus uses continually throughout his ministry to describe himself. Ego eimi in the Greek phrase. I am. Literally, I myself am. Emphatic. God called himself I am. Jesus called himself I am. There are seven great I am statements in the book of John, and they all connect back to Exodus 3:13-15. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11, we have Moses telling God that he can't do this. He's bad of speech, simple of speech. And God is not very happy at Moses' trying to wimp out on not being able to speak. And he says to him, "Who made man's mouth? I did." Who can carry you through, Moses? Who can speak through you and for you? I can. How important is that for us today? Who made man's mouth? My mouth and your mouth. Who made us to speak? Got a question back there, young man? Okay, well, if you do, fire it out here. That's all good. God made man's mouth. He made us to speak for him. Just as Moses was to be the mouthpiece, failed and waffled, and God brought Aaron in, we are to be the mouthpiece. Just as in Esther 4:14, when Mordecai, her uncle, said to her, "For who knows that for such a time as this, God may have put you in this place." If you don't speak, God will use someone. He will call his elect to himself. But he's called us to be his mouthpieces. And this is a picture of that very understanding, clear back in Exodus, some 4,000 years ago. Same message as it is to you and I today. What a beautiful picture. In Exodus chapter 7 through 11, we have the 10 plagues. And when we get to Exodus chapter 12, we have one of the most important components in the Old Testament. What was Exodus chapter 12 at the end of the last plague? What did God institute? Yes. Departure from Egypt. That's good enough for some candy. We can get a little closer though. Very good. Bobby, will you pass that along? Yes, exactly. Passover. It is the Passover that is celebrated, that is instituted in Exodus chapter 12. The Passover becomes the what? The sacrificial lamb. It is where the children of Israel were to take that lamb on the 10th of Nisan. They were to bring it into their home. It wasn't just to go get a lamb out of the field and sacrifice it. No. Bring it into your home. And it is to live with you in your home for 4 days. Got an animal in the home with you? If any of you are cat or dog people or piglets or chickens or anything else, well, hopefully not chickens in your home. But whatever you've got, you grow pretty attached to them pretty quickly, don't you? They kind of become part of the family. Keep in mind, this is a one-room home. About a quarter of this room right here, everything's in here. The sleeping quarters, the place where the fire is in the kitchen, our little living room area, it's all right here. And our lamb is with us. And then on the 14th of Nisan, you take that lamb and you slaughter it. You slit its throat. And you drain that blood into a bucket. And then you take that blood and you paint it onto the doorposts and onto the lintel with a batch of hyssop that's tied with red thread. And you do this very specifically in the afternoon between the two evenings. The change of the Jewish day, by the way, instituted also there at the Passover and confirmed. And that is when the angel of the Lord that will come and will strike every firstborn in the nation of Israel, man and beast, will pass over your home. That sacrificial lamb, of course, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Critical for us to remember the Passover in Exodus 12, because when Jesus, when we celebrate communion each time, we talk about Jesus' words there that Paul tells to us in 1 Corinthians 11 and at the end of each of the gospel accounts where he says, "This is the new covenant in my blood." That was the last Passover. When he died the next day on the cross, it was now the Lord's Supper. Passover was done. Jesus had completed it. But it was a critical beginning in Exodus 12. In Exodus 14, we have the crossing of the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter 20, we have God telling Moses what they are to do and not to do. In Exodus chapter 19, particularly verses 5 and 6, God tells Moses to obey me and keep my commandment. That we are to be a kingdom of priests and a royal nation. Does that sound familiar to anybody else?
Royal priesthood.
Where do we see that in the New Testament?
1 Peter.
1 Peter. Excellent. That's right. So we have all of these concepts. You see how the linking is happening already in the first two books of the Bible as it is connecting all the way back from Exodus clear into 1 Peter. Beautiful expressions of Scripture's continuity and how we need to understand Exodus, that the theme is exit, or the theme is redemption and deliverance, so that we recognize chapters 1 through 11, the repression, and chapters 12 through 40, the redemption. Repression and redemption. Some of the key players in the book of Exodus are Aaron and Jethro, are Miriam, of course Moses, and Moses' wife Zipporah. This is the book of Exodus. What could this thing be?
Leviticus,
that's a correct answer, young man. And how come you know from my picture it's Leviticus? Leviticus. It's Leviticus. It's the book of Leviticus. Leviticus. That's right. That's what this is. This is the book of Leviticus. And what's he got here? Oop. Don't do that twice without falling over. He's got a turkey in one hand, right? That looks like to me. I think it's a turkey. What's he got in the other hand?
Money.
A stack of cash. The theme for the book of Leviticus is offerings and feasts. Offerings, money, and feasts. Food. Leviticus. A wonderful book. Another way that we understand the outline of Leviticus. There are several. I'll give you a four-part outline for the book of Leviticus. It has each single word begins with a W. It is the way in chapters 1 through 10. It is the walk in chapters 11 through 20. It is the worship in chapters 21 to 24. And it is the witness in chapters 25 to 27. The four words, the way, the walk, the worship, and the witness. Way, walk, worship, witness. And the chapters that are associated with that outline, chapters 1 through 10, the way, chapters 11 through 20, the walk, chapters 21 to 24, the worship, and chapters 25 to 27 are the witness. The book of Leviticus is one of those books that when we read it, we kind of go, well, this one isn't quite as exciting as Genesis and Exodus. A lot of that is because we don't stop and recognize what's happening in each of those sections of the outline. The first chapters that we see in Leviticus that are so important with regards to our picture of Leviticus is the feasts. The sacrifices in chapters 1 through 7. The sacrifices are very, very important because they establish the system by which the nation of Israel was to come before God and to make atonement for their sins. Now, for those of you that are faithful in our men's and ladies' Bible studies, were those sacrifices truly able to forgive sins? No, I saw Ken back there shaking his head, so he gets candy even though we didn't hear him over everybody else. No, they were not. Those sacrifices did one thing, and Paul tells us about what those sacrifices did over and over again, and what did the Levitical system and those sacrifices show us? Yes! To remind us of our sins. That was the point. To show us that we were sinners and that we needed somehow to approach a holy God. And these are what the sacrifices show us. And there's specificity in those sacrifices. The burnt offering, the guilt offering, the sin offering, the peace offering. And we need to read those slowly and understand what those all meant for the children of Israel. And then to jump ahead to Exodus 53... the incredible fourth servant song about the Lord Jesus Christ as we move towards Easter, Exodus 52:13 to 53:12, and we see at the end of that incredible chapter that Jesus is made a guilt offering. What does that mean for us? Have to go back to Leviticus and look at the guilt offering. Have to understand all the components that are going on there. That is a powerful connection that not many people dive into the middle of. Maybe you want to dive into it, Bob.
You meant Isaiah 53.
What did I say?
You said Exodus 53.
How could I be wrong? Not the first time today. Yes, thank you. Isaiah 53, the fourth servant song, the suffering servant. It actually begins in chapter 52 and verse 13 of Isaiah. There is no 53rd chapter of Exodus. And goes through the 53rd chapter. And in that chapter, we see this picture of Christ as the guilt offering. And it's a beautiful consideration to recognize what God was doing there. Chapter 10. Something crazy happens in Leviticus chapter 10. How many sons did Abraham have? Many sons of Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. Close?
Four.
That's right. He had four sons. And his first two sons were those who were brought in, his oldest two, as priests along with him. And their names were Nadab and Abihu. And in chapter 10, Nadab and Abihu take strange fire. That isn't something weird. They just didn't take the prescribed offering that God had specifically indicated. And they bring it before the Lord. And God consumes them with fire. We understand from that incredible 10th chapter of Leviticus that God is holy and that He is to be approached the way He has ordained that we would approach Him. So important for us to recognize these components of Scripture and the way they connect. Some of the other important parts of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 18 has to do with the regulations on sexual conduct. Very, very important. Chapter 23 shows us the seven feasts. We've had the seven sacrifices. Chapter 23 is the seven feasts. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2, we see another connection to 1 Peter where the Lord speaks and says, "Be holy, for I am holy." We see that also in 1 Peter. We see Jesus saying the same thing. We are to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Leviticus is introducing to us critical components that are occurring all throughout the New Testament. You see how this connectivity thing works through these books? This is why it is so fantastic to understand these different aspects of the Scripture. One more key chapter I want you to be aware of. We're going to see it again in Deuteronomy when we get together next week. And it is Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. And it is the chapter that talks about disobedience bringing judgment and blessings for obedience. Begins with blessings, then goes to curses, a function of our obedience to God. It hasn't changed. God expects our obedience. He calls us to obedience. Again, a wonderful and critical component you're going to hear in our morning's message if you haven't already been blessed by that message from Scott. This is the book of Leviticus. Okay, so if we were to go back, what is the theme of Genesis? Someone that's under 4 feet tall. What is the theme? What do we see in the middle of the picture? Yes. Yes. And how do you know its beginnings? It's got a big end, doesn't it? Big end and beginnings. And that candy is for you. I'd throw it at you, but I know I'd hit both your mom and dad, and then I'd be in trouble. That's right. And who can tell me about the outline for Genesis? Two parts. Don't have to have the chapter numbers. How about just the four events and four people? And here and over here. That's right. Four events. Was that you, Eric?
Yep.
Four events and four people. There's a curveball on that one. Be ready. That's right. We want to understand what these are. We want to grasp a hold of what these themes and outlines particularly are. Consider these key chapters and verses, because as we do, look how they connect to the New Testament. Look how there is a consistency in Scripture. It's often termed the golden thread of redemption that begins in Genesis and runs all the way out through the book of Revelation. We're going to continue to see more of it next week. So grateful that you're here with us. Anybody got any questions to this point? Cries of shock, outrage, Kyle?
Jacob wrestling with God, is that a positive or a negative event?
A positive or a negative event? Wow, that's a great question. I guess it's in your perspective. There is certainly a spiritually positive component, and yet there is a negative component in that his hip was touched and he was made lame in that left hip. So I guess depending on your perspective, there's both. And if that's not an evasive answer, see me afterwards. Great question. Thank you. Others? Yes, Eric.
Trying to keep up with notes and whatnot, sometimes I can't quite get it all down. Is there any, do they provide like a bulleted list or something that I can look at? Or is it just take notes fast?
Take notes fast and then send me emails with what you don't get, and I'll get it to you, okay? Because my, here's what my notes are on. They're on 3x5s, so they wouldn't be very helpful without a magnifying glass. So happy to give you any of those if you didn't get them. Vicki?
You didn't touch on the tabernacle in Exodus.
The creation of the tabernacle, God's pattern that he shows for Moses, and a beautiful understanding. There's so many things in these books. Exodus, of course, comes through to the 19th chapter. And what do we get? We didn't talk about Exodus chapter 20. Somebody mentioned the Ten Commandments, one of our young ones. That's Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 19, God makes a covenant with the children of Israel. Then he comes in and he shows them the pattern for the tabernacle, following in chapters 21 through about 28. And we get to Exodus chapter 32, and we have this little thing called the golden calf. So God shows them the picture. By the way, that is just before God brings the 70 elders of Israel together with Moses and Aaron, and he has dinner with them. And they come before the Shekinah glory. They come before the living God on that blue sapphire, and they see his throne, and they have dinner with God. I mean, that's a good dinner. Not going to be as good as the marriage supper of the Lamb, because we're all going to be at that one, Lord willing. But he shows them the pattern of the tabernacle and how they are to approach him. It shows more of this idea of holiness. It shows more of his perfection. It shows the layer from the holy place to the holy of holies behind the veil, which at Christ's death is rent in two from top to bottom to expose the way into God. So that is what we see as well as another incredible part of Exodus. Thank you. Okay, well, let's go ahead and... Yes, Greg, go ahead. One more.
What do we say to the New Testament only folks? What do we need the Old Testament for? The church?
His question was, what do we say to the New Testament only folks who say we don't need the Old Testament? Have we not shown that that is ridiculous already? It's written to Israel, but at the same time, it's perfect applicability. The New Testament's not written to us either, is it? But it applies to us. And we need the Old Testament because the Old Testament points to Christ. I love one author who said, when you look to the Old Testament, there's one main theme. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. You get to the Gospels and the theme is, he's here. He's here. And then from the Gospels to Revelation, he's been here. And how are you living?
Coming again.
Amen to that. Father, we thank you that you have shown us your perfect picture of your Son. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can look into it. We can learn more. We can grow in it and love it because it is infinite as you are infinite. Help us to see and grow and love you more and be glorified, Father, in all that we are doing and saying. Bless each one of these as they study and grow in your word. May we be more like Christ as we pursue you and your word. And may you be glorified in all that we do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being with us. Bruce, would you help me and take this back up to Scott, please, this mic pack? Oh my gosh.
Maybe a little better.
Maybe. Thank you. Yes. Yes.
He wrestles and he gets a bad leg, a bad hip.
Yes.
What Paul said, what he says, in my weakness, in your weakness, my strength is made whole. So that's you get taken down if you're the better. Have you ever heard of Grant Taft?
No. I know Baylor.
He was a Christian coach, and he would interview the player for a half hour every start season. And he had this one guy come in and he said, he asked him what the goal was. And he said, well,
Praise the Lord.
Just a good guy.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How great. That's neat. That is neat. Thank you for sharing that. How great. That's amazing.
This is awesome. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
I think that's where they packed.
Yeah, they should be in the back. There's a box back there. If you don't see them sitting there, help yourself. Hey, brother. How are you?
I want to touch base with you on Saturday.
Yeah.
So.